Let's pray.
Father, thank you for what we've just experienced in Kristen's testimony. And thank you for the fact that as her husband, I get to see her live out that commitment to honor you daily in a way that brings glory to you. And so, Father, I'm grateful. And so, Father, right now, I just ask that you will bless this moment, take it and use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Chuck, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm in recovery for lust. My view of sexuality was skewed during my formative years. I discovered pornography as a very young adolescent. Additionally, a neighborhood boy molested me on a regular basis. My definition of healthy sexuality was changed because of these factors. Sex became a shameful and a secret thing to me. I would take my sexual feelings and retreat to a secret world where my fantasy life was alive and well. I didn't have to worry about rejection, nor did I have to feel ashamed over my sexual behavior. In 1980, I began a vocational career in ministry that would last for 15 years. I was called to ministry at an early age, and it was a job that I adored. I was incredibly codependent and anxious, and my vocational choice fueled those struggles. I learned to be a secret keeper. Lust has been a problem for me all of my life, and my thought life was a wreck. I never talked about it or shared that with anyone for fear that it might cost me my job, which became this idol that I worshiped. And so I buried my issues where they continued to grow and fester. I began to act out on my lust issue by a continued involvement with pornography. My thinking was fragmented and compartmentalized. I learned that secrecy empowers sin and causes us to live in darkness. Confession destroys that secrecy and allows the light to do what it does best, namely dispel the darkness so that we might live in full illumination and freedom. Unfortunately, I didn't learn that lesson soon enough. In 1995, while a youth minister, I became intimately involved with a 15-year-old girl in my youth group. I knew the boundary issues involved in inappropriate relationships with students, and I crossed every one of them. My actions were sinful, unethical, and illegal. I was arrested in Las Vegas, Nevada for my crime. It was there that I gained nationwide notoriety and brought reproach on Christ as my crime was featured on two television shows, America's Most Wanted and Oprah. Following a 10-day trial that was covered by both the local and the national news, I was convicted of sexual assault of a minor, sentenced to 10 years in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, and given a $10,000 fine. I knew I was guilty of the offense for which I was charged. I knew that I had sinned and I had hurt many people by my actions. Like David of old, I could literally feel the bones rot away under the weight of my choices. Yet there was no repentance for the sin or the hurt that I had caused. There was no ownership of my actions. With me as a prisoner, the victim of my crime, and I married in June 1997. What I fantasized would be the answer to all of this mess turned out to create even more difficulties. In May of 2000, she came to the prison unit where I was housed and told me she was leaving me. Little did I know, my journey of healing was just beginning. I walked back to my cell from that visit. I took my Bible, which had been on the shelf, and I slung it against the wall. And when it opened up, it was open to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I remember saying out loud, "Are you kidding me?" But I was reminded of this conversation I'd had when I was first locked up. In the first days of my incarceration in Las Vegas, an old trustee in the jail was serving breakfast, and he looked at me, and he saw my fallen countenance, and he asked, "What's wrong with you?" And I told him, "I've ruined my life. Look at me. I used to be a preacher, and here I am in a place like that. And he said these words, son, God don't have no used to be preachers. Sometimes he will stop you in your tracks before you completely destroy your life, and he will let you be put in a place where you can be broken all the way down. And when you're good and broken up, he will use you in ways that he never could before, because God uses broken things. And for the first time in my life, I began to understand the words of that trustee. Pain is a primary motivator, and in pain, I came racing back to God. God used my confinement to start the change process in my life. God loved me and pursued me despite my sin. And yet I had to come face to face with something else. I'd always known the rules associated with Christian living. As a rule follower, I became a Pharisee that never really had a relationship with Jesus. I focused on all the externals, but even as a minister of 15 years, had never truly trusted God with my heart. And as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I finally came to grips with my sin and began to experience God's matchless grace. I began this ongoing recovery process by owning my sin, confessing it, repenting it, and looking at those things that were the idols that led me to that sin in the first place. I started to make amends as best I could to those that I had hurt deeply. And at long last, I admitted my powerlessness and began to allow God to move fully in my life because I wanted others to find the freedom that I had found. During the months following my release, I formed a business plan and began a nonprofit corporation called Ministries 101 that created Christ-centered communities behind prison walls. In 2012, my partner and I began Grace Place Properties, a transitional community in Duncanville, Texas, for men and women coming out of prison environments as well as drug and alcohol treatment centers as a continuation of the ministry that began behind prison walls. In 2014, as the lead minister of a church here in town, I was introduced to regeneration. I felt the only way to establish regeneration in the church was to go through regeneration personally. So my wife and I became Regen participants. And in Regen, I learned to pursue God purposefully, not perfectly. The 12 steps of regeneration both called me and pushed me to live life very differently. Step 9, amends, was pivotal in my healing. I intentionally engaged in the amends process with the woman that I had hurt the most by my sinful and selfish behavior. I met the victim of my crime in a Starbucks in Waxahachie, Texas, as I went through the process of making my amends to her. Her husband and my adopted mom sat outside that coffee shop for nearly 5 hours as we engaged in that conversation. And I will say we have a good and healthy relationship today. 2016 was a year where my wife and I had to abide in Christ more intentionally than ever before. I resigned from my role as a lead minister of the church that I served. The wreckage of my past combined with my desire to live authentically and transparently created too many issues for me to continue in that role. I am blessed to still serve and help that church in their regeneration ministry. But as Kristen said, she and I are so happy to be here at Watermark. We're both in our community group and in our regeneration group. Living accountably and authentically is valued and encouraged. 2 Corinthians 5:17 started to truly define my life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I've come to realize that my life has been this series of choices. And some of those choices were so sinful and so destructive, they allowed Satan to do what Satan does best, kill, steal, and destroy. But God. two words, easy to say, but so incredibly profound, allow me to choose differently. I choose love over hatred and bitterness. I choose peace rather than the bondage that unforgiveness brings. I choose patience, which allows me to overlook the inconveniences of the world. I choose kindness over unkindness because that's how God treats me daily. I choose gratefulness over selfishness. I choose to live in the light as opposed to dying in secrecy. I choose God's truth about me over the enemy's deceit. True freedom is the ability to choose your own master. And I choose to be a bondservant of the Most High, and his name is Jesus. And he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. And at his name, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I have learned that he must increase and I must decrease. And so I will choose to use every breath I have left to make him famous. My name is Chuck. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery from lust. All glory goes to our great God, who through his boundless love and kindness pursued me in the depths of my rebellion, and reminds me daily that God has the final word on my life. And that word is grace. Thank you for letting me share.